I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bowhunter.
Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. It is episode 401. We are on our way to the next 100. Not that we're like chipping away, but it's just kind of fun to count, right?
You just got to keep counting, you know?
Just got to keep counting. So
keep on keeping on, man.
Pretty nuts.
Lots of garden. Dig it.
Thank you for being here, and thank you to our partners. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports, Single Pin Sights. You can save yourself some cash. Code WCB15. Single Pin Sight or Rest, that code's good for everything on their store. Lifetime warranty. We're all shooting I'm shooting the Tetra. You guys are shooting the Tetra Max.
Yes, sir.
So check them out. Single Pin Sights, can't go wrong with them. Also, Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com. Similar elimination products. Just did a podcast with Scent Crusher. Go check that out. They have products coming out that are proven to battle COVID.
Yep.
Sanitize a whole room. And you're good to go. Don't have to worry about anything.
He said they'd be out before, what did he say?
Christmas,
yep.
Yeah, but then he was like, hopefully my crew's probably like, damn it.
He put a deadline. He didn't have a deadline before, but now
he boys
does.
Like overtime.
yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, everybody knows Scent Crusher for scent elimination products for hunting, and we love the gear bag. We have our own Working Class Bowhunter Edition Rapid Mobile Shower. Everything you can find in the description of this episode, so check out Scent
Crusher.
The
new Halo series is a huge upgrade. Compared to the old ones weren't super nice, but the new Halos.
You charge it, and you can really do whatever you want with it after that.
You can
that.
Take it anywhere.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Badass.
Pretty awesome. And the new room cleans are sweet. I got one around right now.
Love them.
Kick ass sea bath.
Also, Loophold Optics. We just did a podcast with Michael from Loophold. Talked about optics, the importance of it, the fun of it. It does make you feel more involved, especially when you're kind of watching something way out in the distance. You kind of get in the know a little more. And I feel like you learn the deer on your property a little more. If you're sitting in a spot where you can see a long way, just makes it a lot more enjoyable. We're all rocking 10x42s.
Yep.
So check them out at Loophole.
I will say I wish I would have bought a nice pair of optics a long time ago.
Yeah,
I would agree. I got a cheap pair and like immediately was like, this is good, but not what it could be.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like it helps, but not as much as it could have.
Well, I have my Loophole rangefinder and binos and a bino harness, and I feel naked anytime I go anywhere without them in the outdoors.
Gotta have it.
Like, even when I'm driving around on my Ranger, just around like the neighborhood here,
you never know.
I have them on.
Get that spotting scope on your back.
Yeah, there you go. I need to get like set up a quick like setup for my spotter off the Ranger just to like look at deer way out, you know, or just something like when my daughter gets a little bigger and she can finally look through it. You know, it'd be fun for her.
And we'll talk about that later.
Okay, cool. The podcast also brought to you by Thermoseat. And what's cool about Thermoseat is they have a code for you guys, WCTS at Thermoseat. And we have our own Working Class Bowhunter Edition Thermoseats.
Looking at them
right
now.
That will be on, hopefully by the time this episode is up, they will be on workingclassbowhunter.com. You can buy them. They are brown with black logo, so nothing's too
Thermoseat
flashy.
Thermoseat traditional.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Stop sitting on that steel.
I'm sitting on one right now in the studio, actually.
Just sit on that.
And guess what? It's made in the USA.
Yeah.
How
can
you beat that?
That is cool. It's kind of like an Americana, like hunting brand, in my opinion. We're proud to be partners with them. Cool thing, we got the thinner ones, and they're like the perfect thickness, because if you throw it in your pack, it's not taking up too much room. You can fold it. But then if you put it on your tree stand seat, it's not like, it's not going to affect how your seat folds up against the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we want the thinner ones. I like the thick ones too, but I feel like for the guys that are moving around a lot like us, like the thinner ones are a little better.
Because how many people out there buy a stand, they sit on that foam pad for the 1 year, take it off after season and they lose it.
That or a squirrel eats it.
Yep. Squirrel just destroys them.
If you leave it there, it's going to eat it.
Anywho, also, Victory Archery.
Save that for rainy day.
Rip TKOs for Doug and I. And
oh, yeah.
The extortions for myself.
Yes. Victory, Kick-Ass. I love those arrows, man. I really do.
Best arrows out there.
I switched to them by chance during some frustration during a season. I switched from another brand, switched my whole arrow setup, got them tuned up, got like my confidence back, and I haven't looked back. And that's been...
I don't know if I could go back.
3.5 years.
Yeah, you shot the other brand for you since I known you.
Yeah, before that, yep. 5-6 years before.
Yep.
And never even thought about looking back. And then we became partners with them, so I'm like, well, very fitting. So
very nice.
Very nice. Gator Outdoors. Code at Gator Outdoors, WCB10. They have all your favorite brands at Gator. They are transferring into basically a merch and lifestyle brand company. And they're based out of Bellevue, Iowa, right? That's where he's from. Bellevue?
Yep.
I always get those little Iowa towns mixed up. Cool area in that up there. But Wade, the owner of Gator, just shot a really nice buck. And we'll be chatting with him soon. Really nice buck, like a high 50s 8-pointer.
Yeah,
with some kickers and stuff. Pretty cool. Check out Gator Outdoors. Also, Lee Archery, the new bows just launched. That's freaking exciting. Mm. And you can use our code WCB on those and ship them to a local dealer of your choice.
Yep. Shad already was on it.
I know. Like, first day he ordered one. He just bought a new Prime, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a junkie, a bow junkie.
He said
junkie.
He ordered the brand new bow and used our discount code, so it worked.
Pretty cool. He's probably the first person for the 2021 bows.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Shad. But yeah, check them out. You can do that too. Code WCB, save yourself some money. And you can get that bow shipped to a local shop and have it set up there, so it also helps a shop in your area, wherever you choose to go. And Big Time, code WCB2020. Of course, that's still going to be valid through the year. Big Time, they offer something now for everyone. For me in Illinois, they have the seed. I have a couple Big Time plots on our small lease, which... have a cell cam over them. Been getting hammered by deer, which is great. I'm excited to get in there and make some moves here soon. And like supplemental feed, the cherry rush, the spray. I mean, they got it all, dude.
Love the cherry rush.
They got it all. Good people over there. Really proud to be partnered with them. And we're going to be hunting in Indiana with some of the Big Time boys here. I think after Thanksgiving, we're going to head out.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
We need to make an air freshener for your car.
That's a good idea.
That is a great idea.
That's a good idea. We'll talk to Joe about that. And also, Big Time is sponsoring the 2021 Working Class Bowhunter Archery Shoot, June 12th in Ryo, Illinois.
Day after my birthday.
If you go to our website, heck, party time.
Dude,
we are planning an after party after the shoot. So everybody, like I had a party after at my house after the last year's shoot, but I'm like, man, we should team up with a local tavern, help them out. And then everybody could go. And so that's all that information's coming. But on workingclassbowhunter.com, there's a shoot tab at the top. And you can click on that and get all the info you need. Open to the public. 30-target 3D course. Should be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, we posted something about it already. And it sounds like there's going to be a shit ton more people this year.
Yeah, which more the merrier. Let's have a party. And we're going to give away some stuff. And I'm sure Big Time is going to give a lot more stuff away this year like they did last year. I think we get 70-80 acres away of food plot seed and all that.
That's crazy.
So come on out. Big Time is awesome and are supporting us there. Also, Old Barn Taxidermy. It was cool to see some of you guys at the, I guess it would be the chili night or open house, I guess, at Old Barn
chili
last
was
weekend.
It was perfect.
Good. It was good. Check out Old Barn. Literally any critter you shoot, they have a specialist in that species. They're cranking out top-notch quality at a good price and at a good speed. My freezer is going to be on the way here, and I will be a drop off. The studio, like Working Class Bowhunter headquarters, will be a drop off for Old Barn Taxidermy. So you can come to me, drop your stuff off. They pick it up, call you, take care of you. And if you shoot a buck and take it to Old Barn, you get entered into the WCB listener drawing, and then they pick a winner at the end of the year for a free mount next year. So even if
can't
you
go wrong,
even if you just heard this or you heard it through a buddy, just be like, yeah, I listen, and then they'll put you into the pot.
Perfect.
You know what I mean?
Who doesn't like free mounts, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
The best kind.
Hopefully you guys kill one and get a free mount. Okay, before we head in, Doug, you have a veteran shout out.
I do. So sent in by Mason Shars. Hopefully I said that right.
Help us with the pronunciations.
The veteran name is Andrew Rorick. He's the branch in the Navy. He said, Andrew joined the Navy as a medic in 2004, and we knew each other before he could even walk. I view him as a brother, even though I was an only child. He was stationed overseas in Iraq before he was honorably discharged. I've took him out hunting before, and even though the outdoors never took to him, I still view him as a brother, and if I ever need anything, I can call him any day or night and help him drag, and he'd help me drag out a deer if need be. So thank you for your service, Andrew.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for sending Jason. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. Thanks, brother, for your service. Appreciate you guys. Workingclassbowhunter.com, contact tab, and there's a veteran shout-out button there, and you can just enter it in. That goes directly to Doug, and
he reads them. And we're getting low, so get on that.
Submit them. Everybody knows a good veteran.
If there's any local ones, too, we have some kind of local giveaways that we want to do. So
Yeah.
Kind of a local thing only.
I'll see where that guy's from.
I like it. Cool. All right. Well, let's get into this episode. This is a podcast with Bow Hunters United, and this is a new thing. We don't know a ton about it, and we thought it sounds great. It sounds positive. Let's podcast. Let's see what it's all about. So here we go. Hope you enjoy. All right. Joining us on the podcast, Matt Corman, and I don't think I messed up his name. I'm pretty proud of myself there. And watch, I did, you know. He's with ATA and Bow Hunters United. So thank you, Matt, for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
We talked, we were like, man, I wonder if he did any research or no research. Either way, he's in the trap of working class bow hunter at this
he's
point.
He's in it now.
Yeah, you're in it now.
He accepted our call, so we're good.
Yeah, so thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on. And this is kind of a cool thing. It's a new thing, and I'm excited to learn about it. But yeah, introduce yourself and kind of let's just talk about Bow Hunters United. Jump right into it.
Yeah, thanks. Been working with the ATA now for almost exactly 3 years, and that's almost how long ago ATA started looking into the possibility of something like Bow Hunters United. Mm-hmm. Kind of early 2018, as ATA was getting together and figuring out who we should be and who we should serve and maybe what parts of the bow hunting community could be better served. Mm-hmm. And that's no insult to the existing conservation or hunting groups that are out there. What we did was we launched a study in August of 18 to determine whether or not there was an appetite for an organization like Bow Hunters United. But part of that study was also to try and figure out if we started this thing up, would it hurt any of the existing, especially the conservation organizations, you know, other organizations that might have a hand in supporting bow hunting? And the answer that came out of both of those was we're pretty sure that there's a need for something like this, and we're pretty sure that we can do it in cooperation rather than in competition with those groups and hopefully raise the tide for everybody.
That's really cool of you guys to consider that, because anybody that's helping from any direction is a positive thing for our community.
Absolutely.
So this is cool. Like, it's not looked at as like you're trying to take somebody else out. You're more of a build up, like, which is exactly what the name is.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's also a little personal thing about me, which I've said a lot. My first day hunting anything was my first day on this job.
No kidding.
And yeah. So, I mean, as a pretty new bow hunter, I think I'm a great sounding board for something like this, because this is one of those organizations that I probably would have been really interested in. I always had it, you know, for 5 or 10 years before I started this job, I had an interest in hunting. I don't know that I would have bow hunted first. I got into target archery a little bit because my daughter got into target archery before I was on this job. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of whet my appetite. This is one of those organizations that I would love to have a chance for. And just the challenge of bow hunting, you know, it took me until last November to get my first bow buck, and I understand how hard it is. And so an organization like this that can build that community, build that advocacy, make it a little easier at some point to hopefully find a mentor with existing programs like QDMA's Field to Fork that are out there and leveraging those kinds of things, that would have been great for me. And so selfishly, I think it's outstanding, but I also think that we can do a great job with existing and hopefully reactivated bow hunters as well.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. I like the idea of it already. I mean, man, it's hard to disagree with anything you said. It's weird for me because – not weird, but it's different for me because I grew up, you know, younger, 8, 9, getting into deer hunting and then yep. bow hunted the whole time up until I'm 30 now. So, like, my dad was my mentor, and my dad had hunting mm-hmm. buddies that kind of helped him learn as an adult. So, they were mentors, yes, but I didn't see them that way because I was just, like, growing up hunting with my dad, you know? It didn't feel that way to me. But if I got into it later in life, you would almost – you would need it, really, because where do you start? How do you How do you do this? What equipment? Where do you go? I mean, there's so many just open questions that unless you have someone there to help you, you don't know what
to do. There's so much knowledge out there right now with the internet and everything else. Yeah. There wasn't that growing up for us, really.
Right. Yeah. You know,
the internet really wasn't a thing growing up for us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. And
I think some of the most intimidating parts of bow hunting, especially whitetails, especially larger game, is, you know, okay, I can stand somewhere and learn how to shoot, especially if I have a good coach. I can get pretty quickly. I can get pretty confident out to 20 or 25 yards. And then it's another thing to stand in front of a live animal and make that shot. But once you make that full shot, oh my God. And that's for.
Oh, there goes a drop call. The joys of living in the country. All right.
Oh, boy.
Let's get him back on. Hold on. Sorry about that. Okay, we're back in it. It's part of the game here, part of the game. But, yeah, you're talking about it's different shooting at a live animal than shooting at a target at 20 yards.
Yeah, yeah. And then the most intimidating thing for me, like I didn't understand the depth of buck fever until I had that live animal in front of me. The first shot I had was about 12. Missed it by a mile, you know. But then when I finally did get that first kill, man, trying to dress that thing out was probably still to this day is the most intimidating part for me. So to have a mentor standing over my shoulder and teaching me how to do that with a couple of deer was priceless. And we don't know what that piece is going to be for each bow hunter, especially a new bow hunter. You know, they might not be intimidated by field dressing a deer. There's plenty of videos on YouTube that can teach you how to do that. And we hope to create some content that'll help them do that as well. But it might, you know, it might be selecting equipment, might be figuring out where to go hunt. But it's going to be different for everybody, and hopefully building up this community will help solve those problems, especially for new bow hunters as we go along.
Yeah, I love that, because that's one of those things right there that me growing up, field dressing deer and stuff like that, I had never that's just something I don't think about for a new hunter, because I don't have to usually, you know.
Right.
I will once my daughter's older and stuff like that, but yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of things that are intimidating or just completely unknown to a lot of people. That how would they know unless they had a mentor?
Yeah, like, if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, YouTube is a great tool, but here you killed your animal, you were successful. Now you got to take care of it, clean it.
Yep.
Yeah. Clean now it. What?
Yeah, it's like, you want me to cut this animal open?
Start stabbing?
You want me to pull its guts out? Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's intimidating.
That's the next
scary
process after this, and I think a lot of new bow hunters don't realize that. I mean, they probably realize you got to do something with it, but
right,
they don't realize, hey, you got to cut it open and take all the guts out and. Yeah. Actually dress this deer.
Well, a lot of new hunters probably didn't think they were going to be successful sometimes anyway, and then now right, it's like, whoa, this is a lot of work, and it just can be overwhelming. So I guess the main mission, if you could just kind of describe the main mission of Bow Hunters United, what would you say that it is?
Really designed to help bow hunters. This is going to sound high-minded, but man, I can't say it any better than this. Just make a difference for current and future bow hunters to try and increase that grassroots participation in the sport by bringing new folks in, making sure that the bow hunters who are already here want to stay here, and especially for those who, you know, used to bow hunt but for whatever reason got away from it, getting them back into the sport and doing that nationwide. You know, we want to work to help bow hunters become mentors, to become advocates and ambassadors for the sport as they grow in the sport, and really stress, especially through partner organizations, how important it is to be a great conservationist and a responsible public land steward, especially now when, you know, any hunting can seem and feel like a super expensive endeavor because I feel like I have to go on private land. It's not necessarily true, you know? And we want to help folks get out however they can get out.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's great. And so now that we know the mission, we have the idea behind what it is, and I'm sure people are going, okay, this is awesome, but how do I become a part of this? Like, what is the process to get involved?
Hopefully we've made it simple. I would ask anybody who's curious about it just to go to bowhuntersunited.com and just read that front page. See what the organization is, what we want to do. And if that's interesting to you, there's a join today button right at the top. It's $25 for a year. You get a great sticker for your truck. It's a great logo that you'll also see at the top of the page. Get a sticker for your bow case as well. Get a membership card and start start building that community, especially now, got an opportunity to kind of get on the ground floor and help build the community. You know, we're it's such a young organization. It's going to need folks who are super passionate about the sport to help build it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So you get on, you it's $25 for membership. You're a part of it. And then what? Once you're in on this, like what does it all entail from there?
Well, first and foremost, especially early on, we're going to want feedback from folks. We're going to want to hear what's important, what's going on in their states, what they feel is important nationally. You know, this is not a lobbying organization. We're not trying to take in tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars so we can hire Washington lobbyists and go change policy. You know, we're going to try and do more grassroots level work than that. But we're going to want to hear what's important, especially on the outset, and that's an opportunity for especially these founding members to come in and be a part of building what the organization becomes. You know, right now as we kind of try and get it off the ground, we have an idea of what's going to be important: advocacy for the sport and conservation and the next generation of bow hunters. We think those are important, but we need to hear from the BU members as they join what they think is important, because we built this thing out with input from lifelong bow hunters, folks who've been out in the field with a bow and arrow for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're multi-generational bow hunters. But, so we had strong input to begin with, but we really want to hear what folks who are passionate enough to join up think we ought to be, and certainly take that into account.
Right. So it's basically, you know, when people join, especially early on, they have a good chance to like mold this in a positive direction by being a new member and a new organization and all that. You can kind of help guide it in a way, which is really cool.
100%.
And reading some of the emails from you guys here, this is something I really like. Providing archery range and program grants to increase bow hunter participation through more recreational shooting opportunities and places for bow hunters to practice. That right there, I think, is
huge.
That's massive for people, because a lot of people that live in town or don't have a great local archery shop or something like that, there's no way to get an interest in it because you don't have an opportunity to.
Right.
That's what I wish. Now I'm fortunate enough I can shoot in my backyard, but before I was like, I always wished I had a great place to go and shoot when I lived in town. Like, you know, I'm limited to almost no space to shoot. If I could go to a place and BS with a bunch of other archers and hang out and get more into it, that'd be great. So for people that live in an area that they might not have that, that's incredible.
Yeah. And that's something that here's one of the big benefits to having an organization like ATA helping to get this thing off the ground is that BU can learn from ATA's experience. And one of the things that ATA has been really good at is helping identify opportunities to create ranges. And it's not to go out and self-fund 100% of those, but to find great partners like state agencies and corporate sponsors and federal matching dollars to go out and try and put these things in communities, especially suburban communities, where space can be hard to find and a lot of places can be hard to find. Like you said, you know, if you don't have a great pro shop near you, great opportunity. If the right park situation, municipal parks, that's another big step we've taken with ATA in the last couple of years, is working with parks and rec departments to try and increase opportunities for archery. Those things, learning those things from ATA is just absolutely priceless in the startup of BU. And as we, you know, of course, I've mentioned ATA just a few times in the last couple of minutes I've talked. I think it's important to kind of talk through a little bit, if you'll let me, you know, what the difference is between ATA and BU and why is ATA so involved right now? You know, especially for a bow hunter, you look at ATA and, well, that's a trade show I can't go to, which is frustrating, I know, for a lot of bow hunters. But there's a reason why it's, you know, even with the show not occurring this year, there's a reason why it's closed off to buyers and sellers of archery equipment, because that they need that space to do business. That said, it's super important to industry, to the manufacturers, and especially the pro shops, to build up the bow hunting community as best it can. Mm-hmm. So the best way I can describe why ATA is involved here is because, first and foremost, we've got the resources to get this thing off the ground. But almost just as important is industry understands the need for an organization like this, and it's a gift back to the bow hunting community to just get this thing standing up to the point where it can function on its own and then let it go. Let it, you know, make sure that it's got the right oversight, the right governance on it, and then let it go. This is not ATA keeping a stranglehold on Bowhunters United for the rest of its life. This is getting it up and teaching it to walk so that it can become its own forum, its own resource for the bow hunting community.
Yeah, right. I'm glad that you clarified that just so people are aware. And I'm also glad that, you know, you mentioned that about the show, like why it's not a consumer show. It's more of an industry inside type show, which, by the way, I love that you guys closed off the first day last year, even though we are media, how you guys closed the floor just for consumers, because I understand that. Like, that's awesome. I thought that was great. I think it was a great move. And I think probably a lot of dealers and people that are there to do business, like,
got a lot of more business done than they have. I really appreciate
it. Instead of having to do with the camera trying to film, I'm so and so with whatever outdoors, here's this.
You know, sponsor my show?
While they're trying to buy stuff. Yeah. You know, great move, I think.
We heard a lot of that. Yeah, we heard a lot of great feedback. You know, it was, and it was exactly what you were saying. It was, hey, you know, I didn't see as many people in my booth this year, but literally everybody who came in on the first day was buying.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, I don't care how many people come through. You know, I came from a sales leadership role prior to doing this, and it didn't matter how many people you talked to. It mattered how many qualified buyers you were talking to. And if we can increase that hit rate, that was key for them.
Yeah. You know, and that's coming, we're media. You know what I mean? That's what we do. We go. We are members of ATA. We do our thing, and we buy our membership. We do our passes, all that stuff, and it's a good time for us. But yeah, absolutely understand that move 100%. And I saw other guys in media kind of whining about it a little bit, but I'm like, how do you not understand this? This is a good. This
it's
is a great thing.
For the, I mean, not only for the people that are in the show, but for the industry too.
It turns around and helps us.
It's making people buy more stuff, and you know, these archery shops buying more product because they're actually in that booth. And they can talk to the rep there or whatever they want.
Well, it just helps our partners make more money. Helps us. Helps consumers. Helps people who want to buy.
It's a full circle.
It's a full circle deal. Yep. So yeah, solid move. I thought that was
great.
And
I totally get it. There's going to be, no matter what the decision is, we're going to frustrate some folks. I understand I know there were folks who were out there frustrated with this decision, especially folks who couldn't get in that first day. And we knew that going in. You know, we certainly weren't going to please everybody. You know, we weren't pleasing exhibitors and retailers as it was. So not 100%. So we tried to improve that a little bit. And yeah, we ruffled some feathers, and I hate that happened, but I do think that we came out ultimately with the right decision.
No, solid move. Yeah, I thought it was
very
great.
Solid
move. I thought it was a great move. But yeah, anyway, yeah, that's good. I like that you clarified that, you know, like ATA's here. ATA's got like the connections, the people, the contacts to build this, birth it, get it going. And then, like you said, let it be its own
thing.
Get up
and running. Yep.
That's great, man. I love just kind of like the community, getting people in, educating hunters is huge, especially new hunters, where you can mold them into like ethics number one, man. Ethics. I love just good ethics. I'm not going to get into this on this podcast. I'm going to get into it on an upcoming podcast. I'm not bullshitting. The other night I was walking out of a property that I have permission on, private ground, and I almost got shot by a crossbow hunter on the neighbors and jumped out of my skin. And the whole time I'm thinking, that guy doesn't know ethics, and he doesn't know anything like he should know. If he's going to shoot under the neighbors, almost shoot me. It was dark. He had you know what I mean? Just a mess. But it just goes back to the roots of education and molding hunters with ethics and all that. So yeah. I see a lot of positive in that direction coming out of Bowhunters United.
Absolutely.
Boy, you're taking me back to, you know, my first hunting experience. My first hunting experience was with an outfitter, you know, private land in Wisconsin, and had, man, I was surrounded by mentors because it was, you know, a bunch of ATA staff. But as I got more into it, and Dan Forster, who's our government relations chief, oh my goodness, perhaps the most successful hunter I've ever come across, is I've been fortunate to call him my mentor for the last few years. And it's one of the things that he's really hammered into me. It's, you know, it's not, It's not just about the shot, and it's not just about where the arrow is going to go if you miss. It's about where are you? You know, what are the surroundings? And things like that, again, we don't know what the biggest challenge is going to be. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, where you are and where your boundaries are. We don't know if it's going to be gutting that deer. But that soup to nuts teaching folks, I think we can help do a better job at. Not that there's been a bad job, but just to help build up a library resource to help folks learn.
Yeah.
I think we can do that.
Absolutely. You know, and I ethics, I think, will play into that just as part of it, because that's a major key. And, you know, we've seen it all, like, you know, from people doing everything the right way, even if it means doing things you don't want to do, or watching a buck walk, you know, a foot over the property line. Like, there's just things you can and can't do in this, especially when it comes to killing animals. And we've seen the worst of the worst, and we've called out the worst of the worst on our show. And if there's anything that we can do to kind of help promote good ethics within Bow Hunters United, exactly, I think we're all on board on that. We're willing to help in any way we can. We think that's, you can't go wrong if you have a strong backbone on ethics. You know, we cut loose, drink beer, cuss, and have fun. But when it comes to bow hunting, we take it very seriously.
We buckle down and take it very serious.
Yeah. When it comes to our ethics, you know, anything can happen when you're hunting. And, but I think if you just have a strong backbone for that, and you can help people mold right into their bow hunting, I guess, adventure or journey or whatever you want to call it, that's the best thing, I think, from the start.
Well, if somebody can get me, who's afraid of heights, up in a climber, then I think we can do anything, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Come hunt some of our stands. We'll get you over that real fast.
Yeah.
Oh, I that was my first day. Was a great guy who helps us with security at the show. Talked to me first. We just sat on the ground and chatted, and he figured out really quickly that I was not good with heights. And in 2 minutes, I was up in that stand taking a shot at a target. He was great about it, you know, and got me over it really quickly. And, you know, again, it's like tree stand safety. You can't reinforce it too much. It's not possible.
That's a good point, too.
That's a huge really thing. I had a buddy fought a tree stand early this spring.
I forgot about that, man.
Yeah, he was out there cutting clear or trimming trees and stuff, and he's up in the stand about three times, went back up, and strap broke. And he's still in the hospital right now. He just walked for the first time the other day.
Well, I don't want to put anybody on blast, but Doug in here had an accident. But I mean, you were young.
Yeah, I was 2014.
You probably thought you were invincible.
Yeah, probably.
I'm not trying to call you out.
Doing it for a while. I mean, since I've been bow hunting,
no harness at all on.
I never wore a harness ever.
Oof.
And you lay it out, man. I know you don't like talking about it, but it's important.
23, 24 feet, landed on my feet, broke my back and pelvis. Was in the hospital.
You're lucky to be talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was in the hospital for 5 days.
That's it?
Yeah, and then a wheelchair for 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't talk about that enough.
I'm glad to be talking to you today.
Yeah.
Right. But I remember it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
But
great fucking start of the year.
I won't get into this too deep, because I'm not trying to like put you on blast. Yeah. But it's worth mentioning. Like, did you ever have anybody in your family or anybody say you have to wear a harness, otherwise you're not going? This is part of the gig. You wear a harness.
Never.
So somebody who ever mentored you, I'm not calling anybody out, Marv.
they all did the same.
But they didn't use them either.
No.
Huh? See, I think that's the big difference. Like, there's, especially with like the mobile tree stands and climbers and stuff like that, I don't mess around with it. I used to take chances. I always wore a harness, but never climbing. It was always once I got into the stand.
Right, right.
And it was always really sketchy transitions from that top peg to the tree stand and blah, 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 you know, all that. And now, you know, I'm a father, and my dad's not any younger now. And I'm getting to the point where my dad will do things. I'm like, you cannot. You know, he's 62, 63. I was like, Dad, if you fall 20 foot, it's over.
Oof.
See, like, growing up, we didn't wear harnesses or anything. Like, no one did.
I always did, but
Until I got actually into bow hunting, then I figured out, hey, they actually make a harness that keeps you from falling out of the tree. I'm like, well, shit, maybe I should buy one of them, because that sounds
it's way part of the gig. Falling. I don't go hunting without my harness, and that should be everybody's mindset from the beginning.
Everybody should do that.
So that's well, I like
and,
that too.
And I'll say,
coming from someone
who
knows experience. So,
go ahead.
25 years ago, when I was working in my first career, which was as far away from bow hunting as you can get, I did that stupid stuff, you know, climbing up into rigging, and and not wearing a harness and not being safe, I think I got lucky. I got out of, got it out of my system, and that's especially odd for a guy who's admittedly super afraid of heights. But now I'm actually appreciative of my fear of heights, because I'm not, if I'm not on a lifeline, I'm not going up.
Yeah, no, that's really smart. And you know, I use a lineman's rope, and there's a couple holes in my game, but I'd say 98% of the time I'm attached to that tree. And I need to get a second lineman's rope. So when take my lineman's rope off and then convert it to my tree stand, like harness strap, that's my hole in my game. I need to get two lineman's ropes. So I'm always attached.
So Matt, you're saying like when you're attached to that lineman rope or a lifeline, that makes you way more confident to get you over that fear of heights, right?
100%. And I've come to rely on the tree rope, in fact, to position me for the best shot. Right. You know, I've come to, when I feel a little tension, I get it. I mean, I'm 6'6". I get that tree rope. Yeah. I get that tree rope up as high as I can and get a little bit of tautness in the harness up to the tree rope so that I can feel, I just feel a little bit of tension on that harness, and that, and now I'm feeling like I'm not going anywhere, and I don't have to think about that. Now I can just think about making the shot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a good point. Real good point. I like that, man. Ethics, safety. I mean, those are great starting points, especially for a new hunter, man. That's just stuff that we all know about because we live in this world. But somebody new, they might not know like what kind of harnesses are available and all that. I mean,
you know, there's a lot of good ones out there now. So
yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that industry's done a great job of advocating for safety.
So let's talk about kind of, I know you mentioned a little bit like 2018, the wheels got turned with Bowhunters United, but like, where are the roots of it? Where did it actually like stem from? I mean, was it one person's idea? Was it like something that kind of was birthed through some like ATA meetings, or like, where did it all kind of just like emerge out of?
I think it came, I can't point to one thing or one person, one meeting, one event. I think it really came out of this constant chatter that we hear from the bow hunting community of, you know, we want to come to the show. And it was just kind of that milling around in the back of the mind of the ATA as a whole that led us to say, okay, well, is there some way, you know, we I promise you guys, we probably consider consumers come to the trade show every year or every other year at the very least. And there's a very good business reason why the ATA has decided that's not in the cards. But what it has done, that kind of constant request has done, is it made us think about, what are we missing? What can or should we be doing to help out consumers, buyers of bow hunting equipment, which is bow hunting is a vast majority of the archery industry. How can we better help them? How can we give them a resource, a community, a voice where they currently don't have one? And it was quite frankly as simple as that. And, you know, 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, as we're starting to look at, you know, what are the items that we should try and accomplish over the next 5 years? You know, we probably had a list of 50 or 60 things that got whittled down to 11 or 12, and this was one of them. And we never knew for certain that it was going to get to this point, because we had to go through that process 6 or 8 months later of saying, okay, let's go out and do a big survey and find out if there's a need for this. And if there is a need, can we do it without, you know, upsetting literally everybody? Is there a space for us to plant this organization?
Right. Because, I mean, there is some great organizations out there, Pope and Young, Boone and Crockett, SCI, it goes on and on. And I've been a member and a measure of Pope and Young for, I think, 10 or 11 years now. And I love that. But my thing with Pope and Young, I think it's great. I encourage everyone to join as a member, you know, enter your deer in the record
100%.
Book. But the thing what I've noticed, and I think I have like sort of a marketing brain, they just seem kind of dated, and it might not appeal to newer hunters or younger people, I guess, that are getting into hunting, which I think everybody should be a member, and they're really strong on ethics. And that's probably where my backbone of ethics like probably stems from, is like my involvement in being a measure and Pope and Young and just the everything that I grew up and the people I grew up hunting with. But sure. I do think they could kind of appeal more to the newer hunters, the little younger crowd. And that's what I see is going to benefit Bowhunters United. Not that you guys are going to take membership away from Pope and Young. I know that's not the goal. But if if there's something out there to offer for a younger hunter or just a newer hunter in general that speaks to them a little more directly, mm-hmm. you know, it's a positive thing. And then maybe them joining Bowhunters United gets them in and sees some of these other organizations where they can get more involved in different directions and kind of just get their feet wet a little, you know, a little bit of everywhere, especially somebody that wants to get into the industry. It's not a bad idea to get involved in some of these organizations too. Absolutely. So
you guys don't need me on this. You just said it better than I can.
Nah, we're just a bunch of drunk Illinois and Iowa boys. A
bunch of hillbillies out
we're
here.
We're talking out of our ass.
Yeah, we make this up on the fly, man.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked. But no, that's awesome, man. And I love the ATA chat. You know, we've been going to ATA for a while. We went to ATA through a couple other brands, and then basically the podcast was like, oh, we're kind of legit now. So then we became members of ATA, yep. and you know, love it, love the show. I'm pretty bummed it's canceled this year because it's great for us, you know, being in media. We get to do our interviews and podcasts and stuff. We're, I'm sure you know Chase Ralston from Rubline Marketing. He's one of our really good friends. And
absolutely.
We podcast there and with a lot of the Rubline clients and get to hang out in the Rubline Marketing room a lot. And it's just a damn good time all around. But
you,
yeah.
You get to see everyone you haven't seen in a year and...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Indeed.
A lot of positive stuff going on. Oh, yeah. I think it was cool how you did mention about the consumers, but I think people don't realize you can't go there and just like buy. It's not like a Illinois Deer Classic or the Iowa Deer Classic. Like,
well, and I want to say too, like people that are upset about it, like this is not just the archery industry. Like I'm in the racing industry for work and like they have PRI, which is the same show. It's no consumers. You got to buy tickets. You got to be a member. It's like, every industry has these shows where not just everyone, not open to the public.
Right. But you're not going there to buy, like, knives as a consumer buying, like, the next, you know, whatever. Wow, I don't know why that came through. But, yeah, like, it's just different. It's not a regular consumer show. So,
right.
I mean, you basically would just be walking around unless you're a member and have, like, you're a buyer of some sort or something like that.
Or you own an archery shop or something of that nature.
And there, and you know, I heard from a lot of our manufacturing members, the exhibitors at the show, say the same kind of thing. One of them put it to me really bluntly. I think we were in a board meeting talking about this, and he started laughing, and we all kind of stopped and looked at him. He said, "Do you guys have any idea how many consumer shows I go to?" And there was some nodding around the room of the manufacturing members. And he said, "I go to 42 consumer shows every year."
Crazy.
So it's not like the bow hunter can't come out and see my product. They can.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Now maybe you don't get all of them, you know, and maybe it's not a product launch, but the reality is it's, you know, not everybody's launching product at the ATA show either. So, yes, it's a necessary business environment. It's true. It's, you know, everybody talks about the Consumer Electronics Show as kind of the holy grail of trade shows. If you're not a member of the CEA, you're not going to CES. It's the same thing there as well.
Right.
Every industry has a show like this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Matt, I'm curious. So I want to ask you something, and you can tell me to kick rocks if you want. So
kick rocks.
Do it.
That was fast. Just kick rocks, all right, man? Close this out. I'm bored.
Click. He hangs up.
I'd be like, wow, don't blame him. Maybe we'll see him at ATA next year. So, you know, you said you're a newer bow hunter. You work super direct in the industry. What is your favorite thing about this industry, and what is your least favorite thing?
Oof.
Putting you on the spot here.
I don't think I've been asked that way.
he's like, ew, pulling his shirt collar.
No, I love it. I love it, and I'm in, and you'll get an answer from me. I can't give you one favorite thing. I think several of the favorites are, I mean, I'm a geek of the highest order. I was in the audiovisual business in trade shows prior to this, and I was a sound guy working for rock and country bands prior to that. So I'm a kind of a gear geek.
So you're judging us on all our recording equipment right now.
No, I've been out of it for 20 years, so I don't anymore.
Good thing he's not in studio. He'd be like, geez.
Yeah, he was running things on Windows 98.
Oh yeah.
I'd be uncabling and recabling and dressing everything up. I swear to you. So the gear thing and the new gear thing for me within the archery industry and being able to see that as it comes out throughout the year is just fascinating to me. When my daughter first started getting into target shooting, we were fortunate to have an outstanding pro shop near us in Texas who A, got us interested, and then B, you know, were great technicians. But then, you know, it quickly gets to the point, if you're a target shooter or if you're, I think if you've been bow hunting for a long time, there are all these little quirks about how you tune your gear. And so you want to become that technician. And I was able to do that for her equipment and then mine. And that piece of it, that technical piece, the geek part of it, the new gear part of it is just super fascinating to me. And not to rank anything, this isn't second on the list, but it's amazing to me, the community of this industry and the people in this industry. And you guys alluded to it before. I can't remember if it was Kirsch, Doug, or Eric said, you know, you get to see people that you haven't seen in a year when you come to the show. That's probably one of the more disappointing aspects of not being able to get together in Indy in 21, is just to see, I mean, you could stand anywhere in that building and just watch people see each other for the first time in a year and how supportive the industry is. And I think it's as true in bow hunting. I saw it first, of course, because my archery life started in target shooting, but it was the first individual sport that I ever saw where competitors genuinely wanted to see the other one do well. Mm-hmm. Of course you want to win, and of course you're disappointed if you don't shoot all that well. But by and large, like 95% of the target shooters out there really want to see you succeed. And there's nothing better than standing on that target. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Standing on that target line and seeing somebody shoot a PR is just amazing. I mean, there's nothing like it. And it's the same as true in bow hunting. You know, you asked me to tell the story of my first buck. I can rewind a year and tell you with vivid clarity exactly what happened. You guys can all do that for deer that you've shot going back however long. And people love to tell the story, and it's not so much, you know, this contest of who did better. It's just to come back and have that emotional outlet and feedback and community that's just incredible. I mean, those two completely opposite ends of the spectrum, but the gear stuff and the people part of it are just blow me away every time.
I love that answer because it's the camaraderie and the hunting.
Yeah, I'd agree with it 100%.
Yeah, well, the camaraderie of the hunting community is so strong. And I seriously, we said it 1,000 times on this podcast, some of the best people I think in the world are hunters. And there's something about your hunting friends or your like outdoor recreational buddies, whether, you know, even if you're hiking, I'm sure that's probably the same thing, but definitely not as cool as hunters. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's just like, that's why we've done this podcast the way we have, because we get to connect with people and have that camaraderie and then hopefully turn this into a career where we're doing that for a living is the goal, right? Like, and we're having fun, and we basically get to live that once, two times, three times a week, for this project we're working on. So, no, I love that answer.
It's like Matt said, like, other hunters want to see you succeed. Like, you know, they want to see you shoot that big buck.
Yeah,
they want to congratulate you, be with you.
That's the thing. Like, Eric shoots a big buck, Doug shoots a big buck. I'm like, dude, yes, you need help tracking it? Let's go, man. Let's do it
right
now.
I'm on my way.
Yeah. It's so, yeah, that is true. It's part of it. And, you know, it's, yeah, you want to, I don't want to, hunting's different than target archery, right? Like, I don't want to be like, I'm going to kill a bigger buck and I hope you don't kill, you know, but, but yeah, like, you want to win in target archery, but yeah, you still want to see people do well. So that's a good point. So that's all great and fine, but let's talk about the negative. If there is one, man,
I'm sorry you broke up.
Yeah, right. What was that? There might not be a negative.
Yeah,
that's
a piece
fine.
Of tinfoil. Yeah. Oh, you're breaking up.
Yeah.
No, you guys would know I'd be a liar if I said it was all sunshine and roses, right? I mean, it's nothing is perfect. No job is perfect. No industry is perfect. No experience is perfect. There's always something that you wish was different or better. And you're not going to call me a liar, because I'll give you an answer on this one as well. It's that same thing, that old saw that's true about life in general. You know, your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. If the greatest strength is the camaraderie and the community, I think that's also our greatest weakness, in the sense that while we want to see others do well, I think as a community, we tend to be a little protective, maybe too protective of the sport. It can be hard to invite new folks in, because, you know, boy, now you're hunting on my land, or now you're going after that buck that I've been going after.
Yep.
I've seen that in the business side of it too, around the trade show. It's, you know, we talk about the folks who were unhappy with changes to the show, the buyer day, you know, 10 months ago. That wasn't, January 20 was not the first change we made to the show. You know, we made significant changes to the show the year prior. We had a lot of significant changes to the show planned for this year. We know some of the significant changes that we're going to try and implement in 22 that would go beyond what we were doing in 21. There's some pretty big pushback there. There are some folks who would really like to see ATA as an organization, ATA the trade show, never change. And I hope that we can try and prevent some of that in Bowhunters United. If we build the organization the right way, if we get the feedback in the right way, you know, if you're not changing, you're dying. My favorite quote is from a retired general. If you don't like change, you're going to like your relevance even less. We're going to have to change. You know, we've got to continue evolving. And there's oftentimes a roadblock that gets put up there. Fortunately, I think the leadership of the ATA, and therefore, you know, the beginning, the nuts and bolts of the build out for BU, is willing to advocate for some of that change and experience some of that change and try and force it in some ways.
I love that, man. That's the best negative answer I've ever heard, honestly.
That was very well said.
But that's a good point too. And here's I'll tell you, from like our listening base is like true blue collar, just real people, right? Like probably a lot of the people that don't get to go to ATA. And that's why we touched on some of those topics a little bit about the show and stuff like that. And I'll tell you, and I can already tell, I already know I'm going to get messages about this. So I'm going to relate it to you. And I don't mean to come off negative in any way, shape, or form towards Bowhunters United. But this will be a concern with the real people that are going to sign up for membership. And I think with the internet, and especially Instagram, and now TikTok's involved in this, and what some people see on the outside of ATA, as just far as like social media is concerned, they might not know what's legitimately happening there. They see the flood of the Instagram, late night Instagram posts and all this stuff of like I feel like people that are, I guess for a lack of a better term, biting off hunting culture for, social media clout or presence. I think the concern would be that they don't want to see ATA or Bowhunters United have people that are not in it for the right reasons or not actually into it because they're passionate about it, represent it. And I think that right there is like a hard line to ride. That's a concern I have a little bit with it. And I know a lot of people are going to be concerned, like have the people that are in it for the good of the sport and the ethics and true conservation
for the right
and
reasons.
Not just people that aren't really living it. They're just doing it to get social media recognition or brand deals or whatever. If that makes any sense at all, I think it does, but
I think it does. And the only thing that it's too new for me to say, yes, that's going to happen or no, it's not. We're just getting the thing off the ground. What I can commit to you is that 100% this thing was started for the right reasons in the right way. And it really is an opportunity for industry to give back to Bohem and let the right, and run it and govern it and do all of that. We need to get to that point. There are going to be challenges. We're going to make some mistakes, period.
Of course.
You know, it's not going to be perfect.
Growing pains. It's normal.
Yeah, of course. You know, any new effort is, but as has been the case with every big project the ATA has taken on, and I can only speak for the last few years that I've been here, you know, it's do the research, make sure that we can do it in the right way. And then don't babysit it. Don't commit to being 100% of the support structure for that project forever. Because then you haven't started anything. All you've done is you've kind of created this addict and you've got to keep feeding it the whole time.
Right.
The goal is let's build it up. Let's build it up gradually. If it exploded that might be a good problem to have, but that's not what we want. We want to build it in the right way so that we can, you know, to your point, make sure that it's a great organization that supports bow hunters and bow hunting, you know, long into the future.
Right. Yep. For sure. That right there is, I think, is going to clear answer, up a lot. Yeah. And you know, that being said, with this being so new and having this conversation pretty much right out of the gate with Bowhunters United, like, I'm sure, you know, one, I know we are more than willing to help in any way we can, or if we have a connection that we can help out in this industry, or if we know someone that has any influence in any way that we feel like is the right direction for it. And I'm sure our listeners would love to help mold and shape this as it grows in any way. If there's anything we can do to relay to our community, you know, we're more than willing to do it if it's going to help bow hunters. So,
well, and I think especially with the community of, you know, even the word influencer has kind of got a bad connotation to it these days, but with the community of folks who have been involved in this thing, you know, I'm not sure when Allison reached out to y'all, maybe it was in August, when she started reaching out to folks to say, hey, would you be interested in helping us get this thing, get the word out on this thing? If you take a cue from how the ATA has behaved with media, especially in the last year or two, and really working to get input and get feedback and get that community of a very specific, that media influence that we can get very specific feedback from, we've tried to do a really good job of that. And if you take a cue from what ATA has done, I think you can expect that that's what we'll ask of BU here in the coming months, is try and get that feedback loop going, not only from both.
Love living in the country. There it is. You're back. Sorry, man. We lost you for like 3 seconds there.
I don't know if that's, you know, that's you guys. And if you refer to competitors or other podcasts, other folks who have influence in the space, other bow hunters who made a big name for themselves, who are helping us out. Yeah. I think getting that group together and talking it through and getting feedback that way will be really beneficial to us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yep. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad we're able to do this podcast while it's so new, pretty much right out of the gate. Especially during season, everybody's jacked up, you know, everyone's tuning into the podcast finally, you know, instead of 10 listeners we normally have in the summer, we got 20 now. So that's good.
Perfect.
So yeah, 20 people know about it. No, I'm obviously kidding, but, no, it's great, man. I appreciate you coming on and BSing with us and telling us all about it. Is there anything that we didn't hit about Bowhunters United that people should know, or is it just, that's what it is and we're going to mold it together and grow it as a community?
No, I think we probably hit more than maybe I even hoped to hit. I think this is good. It's a great overview to start. Again, it's a very young organization. United.com and up, and then start giving us the feedback.
Very cool. Absolutely. And then every link from everything you guys need is, you know, of course, always in the episode description. Yep. So you can go there, click through and check everything out. But no, man, I love it. And I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. It's unfortunate we can't this year. I think we got to do an in-person podcast because,
absolutely.
You sound like our type
of
person.
This year, would have been good.
Yeah.
Then I've got you fooled, and let's do it. Let's do it. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You're watching. You're doing a great job. Six.
Yeah. Watching 6'6" is mic stands way too low. Good thing we got headsets though.
No, I appreciate the heck out of you guys having me on. Can't wait to do it in person for sure. We'll do it when we can do it, and just really appreciate your time and your advocacy for this new organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, man. Glad to be a part. And you know, if we can do anything to help, just let us know. Or if we got to reach out to the listeners, I'm sure they'll be more than bluntly honest with what they think needs to happen.
They'll let you know for sure.
That's kind of our crew, you know. Good. We mess up, that's they the let hope. Us know about it, or if you know, they're pretty awesome. We got a pretty good group of listeners, so
let's hear it.
But so, all right, man, we appreciate it, and I'm going to close it out with how I always close it out. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.